Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to digitalcommerce.com and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's digitalcommerce.com.
Hello there, everyone. This is Stephanie Flaxman, your cheerleader along your journey to become the editor-in-chief of your digital business, and you are listening to Editor-in-Chief. Thank you for joining me this week. On today's episode, we are celebrating. So go blow up some balloons and pop some champagne or whatever you do to celebrate. That sounds like I celebrate with balloon and champagnes, and I actually probably don't. I don't know how I celebrate. I don't know. I'll have to think about that. But I mean, like, a celebrate, like, not on the podcast. Like, we're celebrating right now. Like, guys, we're in it. We are celebrating. This podcast is celebratory. But outside of podcasting, I'll have to think about how I celebrate. Anyways, we're celebrating because I don't know if I said why we are celebrating. It is, this week is the 1 year anniversary of Rainmaker FM, the podcast network, which means it is the 1 year anniversary of Editor-in-Chief, the podcast. Yay! And so I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about this week in honor of our celebration. And not too long ago, I ended season one and I did sort of a recap of my favorite episodes in that episode. So I didn't really want to do that again. That was pretty recent. I will link to that episode over on editorinchief.fm. For in the blog post that goes along with this episode. In the show notes for this episode, it will be maybe a little heavier than usual. So I'd go check that out if you're curious about anything that I talked about and you didn't, you know, quite catch or you just want to follow up with. The show notes for the blog post that goes along with this episode that is over on editorinchief.fm is where you can find all that good stuff. So what was I going to do? What am I going to talk about? And I decided I wanted to go back. I was thinking about the very first episode of Editor-in-Chief, which is kind of different from what I do now. I was getting used to podcasting more or just starting podcasting because I had never done it before. And I'm still very new to it a year later. But, you know, that was like the very beginning for me for, you know, getting my feet wet with just everything that I just made a popping noise. Like I'm less self-conscious about that now. But when I first started recording, I kind of like exaggerated that popping noise on purpose, but I was like so paranoid about any little thing. And, you know, it was when you're doing anything new, it's all kind of very overwhelming and you have a lot. You just don't feel comfortable with things until you get that practice in. So where was I going with that? So I was thinking back to that episode. But so even though I was in that kind of uncomfortable learning very, very beginner new stage then. What I talked about in that episode is still pretty fundamental to what Editor-in-Chief is today, even though I've changed the format a bit. You know, we do different things, but I sort of established what the Editor-in-Chief mindset is in that episode. And, you know, I still talk about that every week. That episode will also be in those glorious show notes over in the blog post. So for today's episode, what I decided was I'm going to talk about sort of three techniques, three ways where you can strengthen your editing skills to improve your writing. And the way I'm going to do this is I have three very specific examples, and they will probably not be in the 99% of your writing, but through the examples, you get an idea of what an editor really looks for. and kind of what you need to be thinking about when you're editing. So even though I'm going to be giving very specific examples that will be very rare if those specific examples are in your piece of writing, they're just sort of an example of a bigger picture of what editors do. And that's a little different from the first episode of Editor-in-Chief, because I really, on the first episode of Editor-in-Chief, I really highlighted the editor-in-chief mentality of taking responsibility for all the communication that you put out into the world. And it was kind of more of that, philosophical angle, which is still true. So for today's episode, this is actually like getting down to business in editing, but it's still sort of grounded in that idea of you're taking responsibility for the communication that you put out into the world by looking out for these things in your writing and fine-tuning them. And so, you're offering your audience a better experience. So that's what we're going to talk about. So I came up with really general names for each of these three techniques or ways to sharpen your editing skills. So I'll go over those first, just so you have an idea of what's coming, and then I'll go into detail about all three. So like I said, they're very rough names, but I kind of like it that way. I think they still summarize what's going on. So the first technique is going to be called look up phrases. The second technique is going to be called don't be vague. And the third technique is going to be called learn words. So, So that is the outline of today's episode. This is the edit of the week. So let's jump into that edit of the week. So technique number one is called look up phrases. And so here's the backstory about this one. I wanted to use the phrase, I was writing something recently for a copy blogger where you can find my writing, not only my writing, but I have articles fairly frequently on the copy blogger blog. We publish Monday through Saturday. And for a while, my articles were there once a week. They're still roughly there once a week. I'll link to those articles too now that I brought that up. But anyway, so I was writing something and I wanted to use the phrase loaded question. I thought, I was writing and that was in my draft. I asked a question in my writing, as I do sometimes, and I was like, blah, 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 blah. That's a loaded question. That was in the draft. And I could have published it like that. But when I went back and I was editing, the phrase loaded question is something that has to catch an editor's attention, because they have to, if you're calling something a loaded question, an editor needs to verify that that is indeed a loaded question. And so I'm really glad I'm using this example of my writing, because I don't mind calling myself out, but if it was someone else's writing, it would be like, okay, my job as an editor is to go through someone else's writing, and if they use the phrase loaded question, it's my job to make sure they really did say a loaded question. Otherwise, you're presenting something that's, not 100% accurate to your readers. So when I put on my editor hat, when I was going through my draft, the phrase loaded question caught my eye. And so I looked up, am I using loaded question correctly? So I looked up what a loaded question was. There is a detailed response on Wikipedia, for example, and lots of other places too. But I looked that up and it really wasn't the most accurate phrase for what I was trying to say. I was really essentially wanting to call my question complicated. I meant sort of that it sort of evoked a lot of mixed responses, maybe a little controversy, maybe a little differences of opinions, complicated. And so I looked up a loaded question, and what a loaded question is more, that phrase means, on Wikipedia, they also call it a complex question fallacy. And the reason is because it means that it contains sort of like an assumption of guilt, or like it implies something bad, or like it implies something was kind of like not okay in there, and that you're sort of provoking it with the question. I would say it's something like, have you stopped biting your nails yet, Bill, or whatever? And that implies that Bill was biting his nails. And maybe that was bad. It was more like, okay, by asking this question, it really implies that something kind of shady or something not good was going on there. And so that's not what I meant in the article I was writing. I really just meant a complicated question. So I had to go back and I revised a loaded question to a complicated question. And I'll put that article in the show notes for this episode. So so what? So the point of this technique is not taking phrases that we say conversationally for granted. Because if I said loaded question in conversation and I didn't mean loaded question, or people might not have even heard that I said loaded question. In conversation, we can get away with a lot more than we can in written communication. And so, or you know, people would have maybe understood what I meant, or they might have not known what a loaded question really was anyways, and kind of just got what I was implying. But in writing, you know, you're presenting something not quite accurate to your readers if you don't look up phrases to make sure they mean what you think they mean. So that is technique number one. Look for those phrases. Don't take anything for granted in your writing. Moving on to technique number two, which I'm calling don't be vague. How vague of me. What a vague name. See, I told you, I keep laughing because we're celebrating over here for our anniversary. We're in good spirits. We are light, we are fluffy today. So don't be vague, my vague title for this technique. And I have another example from something I was working on. So again, when you assume that editor mindset, you're looking for ways to just make everything in writing, whether it's your own writing or someone else's writing, more crisp, more punchy, more just, you know, easier for the reader's eyes to just go through and understand effortlessly, because we don't want to waste that reader's time. That is a big no-no. So if you have the phrase, let's take the phrase way of looking at things. Let's just say that's in someone's writing, blah, 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 way of looking at things, blah, 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 blah. An editor could just change way of looking at things to point of view. Three words. It's a shorter phrase. And why I like point of view to convey the meaning way of looking at things more than way of looking at things is because things is such a vague word. When I started working for Rainmaker Digital, and I worked very closely with Jared Morris, who's VP of marketing over here. He hosts The Showrunner and The Digital Entrepreneur on the Rainmaker FM podcast network. An all-around wonderful person. He has been on Editor-in-Chief before. Everyone has like editor pet peeves, you know, more, you know, some things are like, oh, I don't care if that rule is broken. It's kind of not a big deal. You know, everyone just has, or people have things like, no, do not use the Oxford comma. I'm going to lose my mind or whatever. But Jared, one of the things that Jared didn't like, which stuck in my mind because I worked so closely with him when I first started here, was he doesn't like things and stuff in writing. Like things that he said there's always a more specific way to say things or stuff in your writing. And I love that. That was so me. It wasn't something that I was maybe too much of a stickler of. I think I was, like, just in terms of trying to be as specific as possible when you're revising your writing, if you come across the word things or stuff. But a lot of what Jared taught me stuck out in my head, and I remember, but that's kind of a big one. Like, oh, Jared doesn't like things or stuff. It just reminds me of him. Yes. So, yeah, so way of looking at things can be simplified to point of view. And I just like point of view more. So the lesson here is, again, reviewing your writing with just that critical eye where if you can make it easier for your reader, make it more specific, make it a little more punchy, your reader will like the writing better. Not that they would hate it if you kept way of looking at things in there. But and sometimes, you know, I'll play devil's advocate. Sometimes way of looking at things may be the most appropriate phrase in your writing. Maybe point of view really wouldn't capture what you're going for. I totally understand that. But be on the lookout for it and weigh your options. You know, don't just kind of gloss over it. If you're going to stick with way of looking at things because that is what you want for your writing or in your piece of writing, like, make sure you've reviewed your other options. And it's intentional, not just because that's what was in your first draft. That's really key there. If you're going to keep it in that final draft, make sure it's intentional, not just because you had written it there before. So moving on to technique number 3, we're doing a long episode today, guys. I told you, celebration. So technique number 3 is, learn words. Isn't this a fun title I came up with? Learn words. And here's an example. I love this example because it's a great example of three words that sound, is that a homonym? I should have looked it up. It's three words that sound the same but have three different meanings and spellings. And the words are bore, bore, and bore. And there are three different spellings of bore and three different meanings. And I'll get into those. I'm just going to lead with the main point of this one, which you've probably already guessed, maybe you've already guessed, is by the title of Learn Words, is editors are fascinated with words. We are fascinated with words. We think they are just, I could just get lost in them and learn them, and I just want to create a huge encyclopedia in my head, or I guess it would be a dictionary. But guys, I told you, lighthearted funness today on Editor-in-Chief. And so, laughing at my own jokes. Yeah, I mean, we just love the words, and it helps us when we're working because we can spot if they are used incorrectly. And editors really kind of develop that huge toolbox where they can spot if a word is used incorrectly and substitute and put in the right word in place of the word that was used incorrectly. So bore, bore, and bore, we have three spellings. We have B-O-R-E, we have B-O-O-R, and B-O-A-R. It sounds the same. Which one are you going to use in your writing? So I find that the most common definition what someone would use of these three, or the most common meaning someone is going for is like a person who's a bore, like someone who's kind of like boorish, like bad manners. Let's just simplify it to bad manners. And because that kind of reminds you of boring, which is spelled B-O-R-I-N-G, it's a really common mistake that if you're going for like a bad mannered person, you would spell it B-O-R-E. But a bad mannered person, ill-mannered person, is actually spelled B-O-O-R. That might be obvious to some people. I think it can be confusing. But the B-O-O-R spelling of bore means an ill-mannered person. The B-O-R-E is mostly used as a verb to like drill a hole in like in the center of something. Carving out the center of something is to, you know, bore through it. I think it can be used as a noun too. It might mean like a container that has something hollowed out of it. But B-O-R-E is like drilling a hole in the middle of something or a container that has a hole in the middle. Don't quote me on that because I don't think that sounds exactly accurate. But you get how it's different from B-O-O-R, right? And then our third spelling is B-O-A-R. And that is sort of like a pig-like animal. Maybe it is a pig. Oh, let me just look it up right now because I feel bad I'm not saying the animal properly. It is like, it's a tusked Eurasian wild pig from which domestic pigs are descended. Thanks, Google. That's B-O-A-R. So the lesson here is, learn those words, love those words, live those words. And then you'll be super happy when you notice in writing, either your own or someone else's, when a word is used incorrectly. I could do so many of these. I've talked about them before, premiere and premiere. One of my favorites, compliment and compliment. If you want to hear more of those, let me know. And how do you let me know? I will tell you right now. I was reminded. I would be so happy to answer your questions. If you have questions that we haven't talked about recently, things you want to explore more, things you want me to follow up on. And someone recently asked me on Twitter, hey, I want to submit a question to you for editor-in-chief. Where do I put that? And the answer is you can go over to, an episode's blog post on editorinchief.fm. And in the comment section there, if you write a question that you have that you maybe want answered on a future episode, I will see that. I'll see it if you go to any episode. Probably a recent episode is preferable. But if you go over there and ask a question, maybe based off if something comes into your mind in a certain episode, use that one. And just write the question in the comment section and I will see it. And if it is something that I can cover on the show, I'd be happy to do that. So something to keep in mind, whether you've been with me for a year or if you just started listening, I appreciate it so much. It's been so much fun getting to talk to you guys every week. And I'm so happy that you're listening and interested and asking me questions and following along in the journey of the evolution of the show, because I'm on a journey too. I want to help you with your stuff, but see stuff, Jared, be like, can you be more specific with that, with your digital business journeys instead of stuff. So thanks for staying with me. To close out our celebration, I will ask you if you have been enjoying Editor-in-Chief, if there's anything that you really like about it, think is special, and you want to share that with other people, please go over to iTunes and you can leave a rating or a rating and a review. And a rating is super fast. It's not going to take a lot of time. You can just click the number of stars that you would want to rate me at. I think it's between 1 and 5. And that's really fast. But again, if you want to say something specific about Editor-in-Chief, now that I have a whole year of shows for anyone to listen to, you could write a review as well. And either one of those are greatly appreciated. That would be so cool because, again, you guys are so nice for listening to me every week. And I hope you got some tricks out of today's episode in our big celebration. Thank you for joining me for the celebration. I think that's what we needed to do today, guys, and we did it. So I am happy. I hope you are happy too. All right, so where do we go? Now I'll just say, hope to see you next week. Hope that you'll join me next week here on Editor-in-Chief. Thank you for listening. I am Stephanie Flaxman.